Well, good morning to you all, and a Merry Christmas, and a warm welcome to each and every one of you as we've gathered on this beautiful Lord's Day, this Christmas Day, to celebrate God's great gift to us in the giving of His own Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're glad to have each one of you here this morning, and want to encourage you, if you were not able to be here between services for some refreshments, it looks like there are some left there on the table, so please feel free to help yourself after the service this morning. But again, a warm welcome to each and every one of you. We'll be following the order of worship printed in the bulletin for our second service, and I invite you now to stand for God's call to worship this morning. Our call to worship this morning comes to us from the opening verses of Isaiah 60, a beautiful prophecy of the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a prophecy that underscores that Christ is the Savior of the world, the one who is for the nations, and we see something of that in Luke's Gospel, as we'll look at that together for a few moments this morning. But these words then, calling us to worship our great God from Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our help is in the name of this great God. Let's go to him now in a moment of prayer and ask him to bless our worship together this morning. Let's pray. Oh Lord, our God, we are so thankful on this Lord's Day, this Christmas morning, as we live in the midst of a world that at times seems so very, very dark and sinful and broken and fallen, that the light still shines in the darkness. That our Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And Father, it's our prayer that even in these moments as we gather here this morning, by your Spirit and Word, that you would draw us once again to him who is the light. And Father, we pray that the gospel would go forth to the ends of the earth, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ might be proclaimed as the only name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And Lord, that you would be gracious and merciful to many, that not only that call would go forth, but that you would give the gift of saving faith to many. And so, Lord, open our hearts as we come here this morning to worship you. And may you receive the worship we bring. May it be glorifying and honoring to you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, lift up your hearts now to receive God's greeting. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We turn for opening selection this morning to the Christmas hymn, O Come, All Ye Faithful. It's number 319 in our songbooks. Number 319, we'll sing stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Stanzas 1, 3, and 4, number 319.
Thank you.
may be seated. Well, certainly one of the ways in which we adore and worship our great God is not only by gathering here on the Lord's Day to worship Him, but as we come day by day to serve Him with our lives. And our God calls us to do so. We read His will for our lives in 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, where we find these words: "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever." And God's will for us is that we would love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that we would love our neighbor as ourselves. And as we hear those words once again this morning, we confess that we have fallen short of what God has called us to, that we have sinned against Him, that we stand in need of His mercy and His grace, but we can delight and rejoice that our God is a God of mercy, that He is a God of grace and a God who gives His grace to sinners like us. And so let's unite our hearts together in prayer before Him as we confess our sins before Him. And we do so in the confidence that in Christ, God's throne is for us a throne of grace. So let's seek that grace together now in a word of prayer. O Lord our God, we do confess that we have loved the world and that we have loved the things in the world. We confess that we have set our love on things that are passing away, things that at the time seem so important, so all-consuming, things to which we give our time, our energy, our resources. And we confess, O Lord, that sometimes we have loved these things and set our hearts on these things even more than we set them on You. We've not loved You as we ought, and we've not loved our neighbor as You've called us to do. And so we come before You this morning, Father, asking that You would forgive us for all of our sin. We are sorry for what we have done and also for what we have left undone, that we've not been the people that You've called us to be. Lord, we do pray that You would work in our hearts by Your Spirit through the gospel more love for Christ, that He would occupy much more of our thoughts, that our hearts and our affections would be directed always to Him. And so, Father, to that end, we pray that You would open our hearts now in these moments before us to receive Your gospel, that by Your Spirit we may cast ourselves upon Jesus, and that we may rest in Him alone for our salvation, and that You would fill our hearts with peace and with joy in believing. Hear us, for we do ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, indeed, our God has assembled us here this morning not only to make known to us His will for our lives and His law, but also to declare His gospel to us, that there is forgiveness for all who cast themselves upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have the remission of our sins, that our God is a God who delights to pardon. And we read of that truth just a bit earlier in that first letter of John, in 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9, where John says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And this is God's declaration to all who have cast themselves upon Him. And so on the authority of God's word, I declare to all who have done so that your sins are forgiven fully and freely through the blood and the righteousness of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we respond to that good word of the gospel, knowing that we bear our sins no more and have been clothed in the righteousness of Christ and are accepted before His throne. We respond with songs of thanksgiving. And I invite you to turn with me now to number 313. Number 313 in your songbooks, the beautiful Christmas hymn, "Angels from the Realms of Glory." Let's join our voices with theirs in singing the praises of our great God. Number 313, let's rise with the music to sing. We continue to worship our God now by confessing our faith in Him using the words of the Apostles' Creed. If you don't know that creed by heart, you can find it in the back of those same songbooks on page 851. So, Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this time we have opportunity to make use of one of the great benefits of the gospel, and that great benefit is prayer, that we may commune with God and fellowship with Him in prayer. So let's unite our hearts together in prayer before the throne of our Heavenly Father. O Lord, our God, we do come before your throne of grace this morning with joyful hearts, hearts filled with thankfulness to you for your great gift to us, for the gift of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we thought upon that in the weeks gone by, in anticipation of this day, we must confess, O Lord, that the gift you have given us in Christ is indescribable. It is a gift that is beyond words. A gift for which we cannot give you adequate thanks here in this life. A gift for which we will thank you for all eternity. We're so thankful for Jesus. For it is in Him that your light has come. It is in Him that your glory has risen upon us. And it is to Jesus that nations and kings shall come. And it is to Jesus that we come. And we come because of the good tidings you proclaim to us in Him. For He came to bring good news to the poor. He came to bind up the brokenhearted. He came to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. He came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, a vengeance that shall not come upon those who believe on Christ, because Christ bore it for us. He came to comfort all who mourn, to give beauty in the place of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. And so today we greatly rejoice in you, O Lord, and our souls exult in you, our God. For in Jesus you have clothed us with the garments of salvation, and you've covered us with a robe of righteousness. To this fallen, sinful, and broken world, this world that is no friend to grace, you gave your Son. And the giving of your Son was a gift of love. For you so loved the world that you gave Him. And what makes your love so great is not that you loved a big world, but that you loved a bad one. While the world turns its back on you, you did not turn your back on the world. And while the world has rejected you, you did not reject the world. You set your love upon the unlovely. Indeed, you do not love us because we are such a great people or because there is something so attractive to us. You love us not because of who we are, but because of who you are. You are faithful to the faithless. You do not break the bruised reed. You are near to the brokenhearted. You save those who are crushed in spirit. And so, Father, whatever may be on our hearts or in our minds in this day, whatever things we may be carrying with us, it's our prayer that you would fix our eyes again upon Jesus and that you would give us much joy in Him. Comfort those who mourn. Raise up those who have fallen. Heal our wounds. Give light in those dark places where no other light shines. Give peace to the troubled and hope to those in despair. Be a friend to those who are lonely. Give strength to the weak. Give salvation to sinners. And hasten the day, we pray, when Jesus Himself shall be our everlasting light and our glory. We thank you for the privilege of coming together today. Thank you, Father, for each one here. And even as in these moments before us, we receive your word, may we go forth in joy. Give us much celebration today with family, with friends. But even as we celebrate all of the joys and the blessings of this life, may our joy be full because of Jesus. We pray these things in His name. Amen. Well, as we prepare to hear God's word this morning, I invite you to turn with me in your songbooks to number 318. Number 318, Angels We Have Heard on High. We'll rise with the music to sing all the stanzas, number 318.
Thank you.
just a moment, we'll give ourselves to the reading and preaching of God's word. But before we do so, let's ask his blessing in a word of prayer. Let's pray together. O Lord, our God, as we turn our attention to your word this morning, and to that glad announcement of the birth of our Savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we do pray that you would work that same faith that you worked in the hearts of the shepherds long ago, that you would fill our hearts with joy and peace, that we would know that there is grace abounding even to sinners, that you have come down from that high throne of heaven to dwell amongst the lowly, to bring us to heaven to be with you. And so, Lord, grant us through your word and spirit this morning a fair meeting with Christ, for we ask these things in his name. Amen. You may be seated. I invite you to turn with me now in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we'll be reading together this morning verses 8 through 20 of Luke chapter 2. In our first service this morning, we looked at the opening seven verses, and now in this service, we want to look at verses 8 through 20, this familiar passage of Scripture, the Christmas story. I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at this wonderful passage together this morning. Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. And I would just remind you as we give our attention to God's Word this morning that our God has given us His written Word because of the special care that He has for us and for our salvation. And so with that in mind, let's hear the Word of God this morning from Luke chapter 2, beginning our reading in verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. So far, the reading of God's own word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. In our first service this morning, we looked at those opening verses of Luke 2 and heaven's great gift to us. And now in the moments before us, we look at these next set of verses in Luke 2 and heaven's song. Heaven's great song at the gift that God has given. Earth pays little attention to the birth of its king, but heaven rejoices. It's earth that needs the saving, but it's heaven that sings. And that tells us something about God and something about his grace abounding to undeserving sinners like you and me. And we see something of God's wonderful and marvelous condescension even to the lowliest here in these opening verses of our text. Look again at verses 8 and 9. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. The verse right before that, in verse 7, speaks of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the birth of the very Son of God. And isn't it instructive that the very next verse, after the birth of the Son of God, is a verse that directs our attention to a band of lowly shepherds. Luke 2 begins, as you may well know, with the most powerful man on earth, Caesar Augustus, his mighty Roman Empire. But then it turns very quickly to the meek and the lowly, to Joseph and Mary, a young carpenter and his virgin wife who was with child. And now it turns to the lowest of society. It turns to the shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Shepherds were a lowly class of people. They were considered spiritually unclean because of their work, barred from the temple, barred from its ceremonies, its feasts, its sacrifices. They were considered unreliable witnesses, not allowed to give testimony in court. They were in many ways the outcasts of society, men of very little standing in that day. And so here they were on this particular night, this lowly class of people going about their life's work, just trying to scrape out a meager living by doing their job. It was to them that an angel of the Lord appeared. It was around them that the glory of the Lord shone. God didn't send his angel to the mighty Caesar Augustus, not even to the governor Quirinius. He sent his angel to the shepherds out in the fields. He sent a message to the lowliest on earth. His glory shone around them. And understandably, they were filled with great fear. They were unclean shepherds. No access to the temple, no access to the ceremonies, no access to the sacrifices. They were unclean, and they knew it. And yet here stood a messenger from heaven before them. They were sinners, and yet here was the glory of the Lord shining around them. How can the unclean stand in the presence of an angel of the Lord? How can sinners stand in the presence of the glory of the Lord? That's a question that's relevant to each and every one of us. Because like the shepherds, we too are unclean and sinful by nature. How can we stand in the presence of the Lord of glory? And so it's understandable that the shepherds that night were undone and feared that they would be slain by this mighty angel of the Lord. But look at what the angel said to them, verses 10 and following. He said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." As is so often the case in Scripture, the first message from heaven to sinners is the word that's most desperately needed. Fear not. Do not be afraid. The angel has a message from heaven, a message that removes fear. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy. The shepherds feared that they would be slain according to the law, that finally they would have to give account for all of their sins and all of their uncleanness, and that they would be struck dead on the spot. Instead, the angel comes and announces to them the gospel. Literally, what the angel says to these shepherds is this: I good news you. The angel is an evangelist. a preacher of good tidings for sinners, a preacher of the gospel sent from God Himself. And it's a message of great joy for all people. Calvin said in this passage that this message of the angel compensates for all the pains, distresses, and anxieties of the present life. Here is a joy, my friends, a joy that transcends every pain, a joy that answers every distress, a joy that surpasses every anxiety. This is a great joy. And it's a great joy for all people. Not just for the shepherds, but for all people, for you and me as well. We've seen in these last weeks, in the opening chapters of Luke's gospel, that Luke is a doctor by profession, cares for people physically when they are hurting, but he's also a physician of souls. He knows how to care for people who are care for people spiritually when they are hurting and broken, when they have that sense of guilt over their sins, the brokenness and ruin that they perhaps have brought to their lives. And maybe that's something of what you're feeling this morning. And yet, here is Luke, this great physician of souls, telling us what we need for our salvation. And what we need is this child born, this child given to us. We need Jesus. And we need the healing balm of His gospel. And so what does Luke do in his gospel? What does he do in his book of Acts, his book on church history? Well, throughout he will trace the spread of the gospel as it goes forth to the ends of the earth, here from Bethlehem, and then in the book of Acts from Jerusalem to Samaria and Judea, and even to the ends of the earth, this one gospel message of a Savior who has been born, a Savior whose wounds heal, and a Savior who binds up the brokenhearted. This is good news for all people. And here's the content of that message. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And notice the language there. This child is born to you. This son is given to you. This is God's gift to sinners like you and me. We're told that He is the King. He was born in the city of David. We're told that He is the Savior of sinners. We're told that He is the Anointed. He is the Christ. And we're told that He is the Lord. Not Caesar Augustus, but this child. Caesar Augustus, great as he was, never saved a single sinner. Caesar Augustus is dead. His kingdom has failed. His peace is long gone. But Jesus Christ is still King of kings and Lord of lords. And He is the only one who has ever saved sinners. And He is the one who is still in the business of saving sinners to this day. And He lives, and His kingdom is forever, and His peace abides forevermore. And yet here we find Him coming in humility and lowliness. Look at verse 12. This babe, this Son of God, this God in human flesh is wrapped in swaddling cloths. The Savior of sinners, this infant lying in a manger, is Christ the Lord. What an unusual sign was given to the shepherds. And yet God gives confirmation with yet another sign, with a glorious song containing a gospel message. Look at verse 13. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Isn't that the way with God? He sends not just one angel to the shepherds. He sends a whole host of them. He is a God who gives and gives and gives, a God whose grace abounds and abounds and abounds, and His resources are never depleted. And so here, God fills the night sky with the hosts of heaven, and He sends these angels not to create fear in the hearts of the shepherds, but to create faith in their hearts, and then to strengthen that faith in their hearts. And it's striking, the host of heaven. That word host is a military term. God quite literally sends the armies of heaven, the armies of the Lord God of hosts. But there's no hostility here. He doesn't send them to do battle with sinners. Doesn't send them to slay the shepherds in their uncleanness and sinfulness. Doesn't send them to destroy a world that has turned its back on Him. He sends the angels. He sends His mighty army to proclaim a message of peace. These are heralds of the King, and they rejoice that in Jesus they can proclaim the terms of peace to rebellious sinners like you and me. The angel's appearance that night should resolve for us once and for all the fact that God is a God who delights to save sinners. We're told elsewhere in Scripture that the angels rejoice when one sinner repents. Well, if the angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner repents, then how much greater their joy when the Savior of sinners is born to save. The skies are filled with the angels of heaven. And what are they doing? Well, they're praising God. The angels sang for joy at creation. They sing more loudly still here at the dawn of new creation. This is heaven's song. Earth may not notice the birth of her king, but heaven sings. And here's the song, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. The song of heaven begins in the only place it could begin, with glory to God in the highest. This is the purpose of all creation. Of all that God has made, of heaven and earth and angels and humans, all of creation was made to give glory to God. This is our chief end. Our Presbyterian friends have that right. Our chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And we give glory to God not only for who He is, but for what He gives. Peace. He gives peace. It's what the Gospel of Luke is all about. It's what the book of Acts is all about. God giving peace to His people. And He gives peace to His people through the gospel of His Son. Calvin said, when God speaks, it is to bless and save us. He does not treat us with the severity of a judge, but acts with the kindness and sympathy of a father. His arms are open to receive us as His very own children. And that's clearly what He did with these lowly shepherds. Look at verses 15 and 16. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." The angels didn't stay with the shepherds. They had filled the night sky, but now they went away from the shepherds back into heaven. This is only the dawn of new creation. This is not high noon. There is much yet to be done before the Son of Righteousness rises up with healing in His wings. Jesus must live the life of righteousness. Jesus must die the death of the unrighteous. Jesus must do that whole work of rendering unto God obedience and the keeping of His law. Jesus must take the sins of His people upon His shoulders and bear them there on the cross. The cross awaits Him still. And so does the tomb. And all the great work of our redemption must still be accomplished. And so the angels sing, but then they depart. This is not yet the consummation. It's only the beginning. The angels will wait for that great day when they will return with their King at the end of all things. But in the meantime, notice what the shepherds do. They believed God's word, verse 15. They said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They believed God's word. And it's a beautiful reminder to us of what Paul will write later in one of his letters, that faith comes by hearing. Paul writes that to the Romans, a little church founded at the very heart of the great and mighty Roman Empire. That faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. God here used the announcement of the gospel to create faith in the hearts of these lowly shepherds. Their cleanness, their righteousness did not come through the sacrifices and ceremonies of the law. It didn't come through their observances at the temple. It came through the proclamation of good news for sinners. And so, believing God's word, they go with haste to find Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And notice what Luke says there. They found Jesus exactly where the word of God said he would be. You know, that's a wonderful reminder for you and me, that we can find Jesus exactly where he has promised to be. And where does he promise to be? He promises to be present as his gospel is preached. And if you're longing to know Jesus more, longing to know more of this great Savior who saves sinners, this great Savior whose grace abounds to sinners, then come and hear the proclamation of his gospel. It's where he's promised to meet you. Come to his table. It's where he's promised to meet you. And you'll find it to be true of you, even as it was true of the angel, of the shepherds. They found it exactly as the angel said it would be. We'll look at verses 17 and through 20. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. So here are the shepherds this night, seeing the hosts of heaven filling the night skies, hearing the gospel proclamation, good news for sinners. The angels depart. They quickly make plans and go immediately to Bethlehem. They go to the manger and they see Jesus and Mary and Joseph exactly as they'd seen or had been told. And then they depart from there, and they go forth making known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. What saying? What saying did they make known? Well, verse 11. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. These shepherds were considered too lowly to even give testimony in a court of law, and yet God chooses them to run forth with the gospel message. They became preachers of the gospel, as it were. They made known the glad tidings concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see the response. Verse 18, all who heard it wondered. And look at Mary's response. She treasured up all these things, verse 19, pondering them in her heart. Does that response resonate with you this Christmas day? Do you wonder at God's grace in saving sinners? In saving a sinner like me, like you? Is God's grace still amazing to you? And do you treasure up these things and ponder them in your heart? In the midst of all the busyness of this season, in the midst of all the joys and the celebrations, even of this very day, wonderful celebrations, things for which we can praise God, time with family and friends and loved ones. But you take a few moments, even today, to treasure God's grace to you in Christ, to ponder that He would set His love and His affection on you. We saw it in the first service this morning. It is a wonder of grace that we would find room in our hearts for Jesus, but so much greater that God would find room in His heart for sinners like you and me. It's good for us to wonder at these things, to treasure these things, to ponder these things. But then to remember that doesn't lead us to a life of inactivity. Look at the shepherds in verse 20. They went back to their fields. They went back to watching over their flock. They continued in their work. They didn't go out and build monasteries. They didn't cut themselves off from the world. They continued to give themselves to their daily work. But there was a change, you see, as they went about their daily work from this point forth. They did so glorifying and praising God. I love the way Martin Luther put it. He said, Christ did not come to change external things, nor to destroy His creation or to transform it. Therefore, you should clothe your body, provide it with sustenance, use it to do some honest-to-goodness labor. That is God's creation and order, and He hasn't changed that order. The real change which Christ came to effect is an inward change of the human heart. Salvation depends on the heart being enlightened and receiving a new seal so that it can say, I know that God accepts me just as I am, and that this truly applies to me because He sent His Son. Let Him become a human being so that through Him I would be able to overcome sin and death and be assured of having eternal life. He goes on to say, everyone is to conduct himself in his vocation and station in life, being diligent, upright, honest, and godly. And he should be totally assured that such external living does not in any way harm his Christian faith. Everyone should learn to serve God in his personal vocation, and in that vocation should glorify God. Then he will be serving God in the right way. It's a wonderful reminder to us. These are special weeks in many ways, days and weeks in which we rejoice in the anticipation of Christmas and all the festivities of this time of year. Today is Christmas Day. It's a joyful day, and rightly so. But tomorrow it'll be over. And all the build-up and all the anticipation and all the excitement that went into this day will be done. What will you do tomorrow on December 26? And how about next week? And the week after that? And in the months to come? The lowly shepherds went back to their work with joy and gladness, praising God because they were now made citizens of heaven. God created faith in their hearts through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the proclamation of His gospel. And they were lowly in terms of the mighty Roman Empire. They had become citizens of heaven. Citizens of a kingdom that has no end. Subjects of a king who is a king of grace. And dear friends, we've been told so much more than the shepherds were told by the angels. They were told of his birth. We have the rest of the Bible. We have the rest of God's message to us. We know not only of Jesus' birth, but of his life, and of his death, and of his resurrection from the dead, of his reign and his unending prayers for us in heaven, even now. And if all of these things have come to pass, and they have, then we certainly know that he is coming again. And that on that day, the Son of Righteousness will come with healing in his wings. And every pain and every distress and every anxiety will be over forever. How do we know? Well, the end of verse 20. As it had been told them. God's word never fails. And so, dear friends, heaven's song can be your song if you believe in Jesus Christ. In fact, your song can be greater still. The angels announced the giving of the gift. But that gift wasn't for them. It was for sinners like you and me. No ear may hear his coming. But in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. May the joy of Christ fill your heart today and every day, because God's gift is truly the gift that keeps on giving. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we do confess that our joy often is not what it should be. We hear the angels singing this glorious song, filling the night sky and singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Lord, we do pray that you would lift our hearts above those passing things of this world, the mundane things, and things that are necessary, things that are important, but that you would lift us above them to see that our citizenship is in heaven. And that because of Christ, there is coming a day when we shall dwell in the presence of the King of Angels. Because things have been made known to us that angels desire to long into, to look into. Well, they know the holiness and the glory of our great God. We know your grace. Grace abounding to sinners. And we know peace. Peace with you through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, may we take up the work you have given us here in this world, whether it be in the workplace, whether it be at school, whether it be in the home. Whatever vocation or calling you may have given to us, may we go about it diligently and faithfully, but may we go about it also with joy and gladness in our hearts, glorifying and praising you that your word is true, that your heart is kind, that your grace abounds, and that you are coming again. And we shall be with you forever. So fill our hearts with joy, we pray. And may we glorify you in all things. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. Well, let us respond to God's word this morning with that wonderful Christmas hymn, Joy to the World, the Lord is Come. It's number 299 in our songbooks. Number 299. Let's rise with the music to sing all the stanzas. You may be seated. This time we have opportunity to respond with thanksgiving to God for His great gift as we give of our gifts and offerings for the support of the ministry of the gospel, that His word may go forth to the ends of the earth. The offering this morning will be for the general fund. Freely you have received, freely may you give. For our doxology this morning, I invite you to turn with me to number 311 Number 311 in your songbooks, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Let's rise to sing the three stanzas, number 311. Now, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we come to the close of this worship service, we go forth with joy in our hearts, not under a word of condemnation, but under that good news of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, with joy in your hearts, lift them up to receive the benediction of our own God from His own word. Now, to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, power and dominion, both now and forevermore. Amen.